You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. I'm your host, Mike Carosa, and you might be expecting them to say, with me as always, is Morgan Sanchez. However, today and next week, Morgan, unfortunately, cannot join us. Too much happening, got a trip to plan, lots of logistics to get set up with, and then, you know, we got to figure this side. So it's just the boys today. Because joining me today as, again, the I think we're just going to go ahead and say, as far as the mailbags are concerned, a returning team member, friggin' Michael Solani, a.k.a. Games Freak X. I almost said James
Freak. Did you just GIF my name? Did you just GIF my name? You know I can't be a regular cast member after this, right?
I honestly, I don't know what's going on with me tonight. It's just been such a long day. Yesterday, I had to take my dog to the emergency vet, and, like, she's fine. I'm not going to get into it because it's gross, but she's okay. But, like, we had that to deal with, and then today work was just stupid crazy.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm, like, relaxing, and I think my entire body is also, like, my mouth is not working for me today. My mouth is going to do some stuff that I don't want to do. Excuse me if I burp without noticing. I don't know what to expect.
This is a pretty accurate representation of your stand-up sets, right?
No, not
your
even
mouth
a
just
little
sitting
bit.
There, I'm not doing what you want it to do.
No, I'm really good at stand-up, actually. That's like the opposite. I'm fucking funny. Start
just,
again.
Just anyway. Imagine that this is one of your stand-ups and that all of our listeners are in their underwear.
Okay, do you... listeners in their underwear?
So statistically speaking, at least one of them is, right?
And it's me. It's me when I have to put this up on the site and listen for, like, the time codes. Anyway, Michael Solani is back. It's the mailbag champ over here. Friggin'
mailbag gremlin.
King.
Yeah.
Mailbag gremlin. I was trying to upgrade you to champ from gremlin, you know? I didn't want
to... No. I need to earn that title first, you know? You can't just ask for a Nobel Peace Prize and get it. You have to end 14 wars first.
You're such a dork. I can't believe you. Take the title. You're a champ.
All right, fine. I'm a champion. Just like you, Mike. But you know who else is a champion?
Gremlin thinking he's a champion. Okay, well, sorry. I was doing a whole bit. Who's a champion?
You know, I guess not a who, but more of a what. And that's our sponsor, Cardsphere.
I f-ing knew it. Sorry, Ken. I knew it. I swear to God, I can't. I am in a weird zone right now. Our sponsors are great. And we're going to tell you all about them right now.
Got to think outside the sphere.
Got to think outside the sphere. It's Cardsphere. .com, Cardsphere, get your cards here. Sign up using the referral link in the description. 100%. I guarantee you're going to end up loving it. Okay? Put cards that you don't want to use. Other people are looking for your cards. That becomes money for you to use our Cardsphere. And you're trading cards for cards. Your collection's getting better. It's exactly what you want. Cardsphere.com, use the referral link. I promise you, you're going to love it. You're going to spend so much time on this friggin' site and get a bunch of stuff. I am thrilled about the Lauren set that's coming up, and I think I'm going to try to get a complete set of that set. Very excited, and I have a feeling that I'm going to be spending a lot of time on Cardsphere trying to find exactly the full set as I want it at a price point that does not feel like a nightmare, which LGSs can tend to do. So,
oh my god, the markups? Try getting one of those Eldrazi pre-con decks and you just want to, your wallet just wants to cry. It's like going to a Whole Foods in terms of the amount of stuff you could get for the money. Just go to Cardsphere. It's got everything you need.
Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here, baby. Get on that referral link. Sign up. They'll know that we sent you, and that'll mean a lot to us. So once again, Cardsphere.com. Sign up. Morgan's not here, so she's not got an update for us about the Odyssey stuff, which is always what I want to hear about. I can't wait to find out what extra foils that she's missed out, like she's just picked up and she's been missing. So I
hold on. I can actually
an update for that too.
I can actually hear her in my left earphone right now saying that she just purchased a foil Ancestral Tribute. What a great card from Odyssey. Mike, what does that card do without looking it up?
Ancestral Tribute is a white sorcery that costs 2 and a white. No, it's not. It's Ancestral Tribute. I can picture the art. The art is great. It hunkers back to the old days of Magic, but it's not 2 and a...
By like a renowned white. Edward P. Beard Jr.
Okay, I didn't know. Ancestral Tribute is that it's real bad, right? It's the one that's like Archangel's Light.
Yeah, it's like 2 life for each card in your graveyard. How much you want to guess it costs?
Yeah, and
it
then
costs?
It's got a ridiculous flashback. It's got flashback for like 9.
No, flashback for 12. It's 9 generic and 3 white.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's real.
I'm looking this up now. What's it cost without it?
5 white.
Oof. Uncommon?
Rare. It's a rare. This is a garbage card.
Man, okay. I want to do a draft sim with this set. I love these old sets.
This art is so good. I love these old sets. This is like a Storm the Seed Core level tier art card mismatch. Okay.
No offense to Mr. Beard Jr., but let's not get too crazy.
I do like the Rayman hand he's got on his left hand there.
I love that too.
Does not look like it's attached to his arm at all.
I met Jason Rainville in Ottawa for the Command Fest by Face to Face there, and dude was so nice. And Storm the Seed Core, we talked about that for like 10 minutes because I was like, dude, what was the reception? Like, how did you feel doing all that? Why'd you go so hard? And he was like, you know what? It was crazy. And I'll save it. We'll save it because he's actually someone I have to reach out to about doing the interview side of the podcast. So that's a little teaser for us. Yeah, but Morgan getting another foil for the collection is thrilling, and I'm very happy to hear it. So shout out to Morgan Sanchez, our co-producer and co-genius co-host. So now we also have to mention BoneBoxGames.com. Use promo code BOLCAST for a good old discount on your order, and get yourself some deck boxes that you love. And I'll tell you, I've got...
There's a mushroom deck box... There's
Decay. I love that one. I use it for Genova. I use the Tarot one for Lazav. I've just dismantled my Azorius Clones deck, so my porcelain deck box is currently free, and I'm looking to put something in there. And then my Baked Goods deck box. I said that I was going to put Lizolda in there, but I do like the deck box she's already in because it's also the Professor thing, and it's like the whole deal. So I think what I'm going to do is put Rakdos in that deck box and feel pretty good about it.
I actually do need to buy this. Hold on. I need to buy this tarot box. Give me like it's 5 gorgeous. Minutes. It is gorgeous. My girlfriend collects tarot minutes. Decks alongside like regular playing card decks. Actually, we just came back from a we were drinking at a bar and eating dinner. You know the things you do with your girlfriend so that she can like be fucking happy. Anyway, we went to a Walgreens.
You do things that interest the one you love because you care about them.
Yeah, that's the joke. We go to a Walgreens after to buy some stuff, and you know they sell playing cards at the Walgreens. And she picks up this pack of bicycles, and I'm like, "Oh, you already own that one." And she's like, "No, I don't. I definitely do not own this one." So we made a bet. We made a $20 bet that she did not own it. When she gets to she turns around to get to the counter. I pick up a second set of the cards. She checks out. I also check out with the same set of the cards and make sure that I beat her to where she keeps her decks.
Boo.
No, that was a lie. That didn't happen. What actually happened was I knew that she already had the deck because I had also tried to purchase this deck for her before. And she already had the deck. So I actually have a third copy of this same set of playing cards. It's at work right now. And they're just like regular playing cards, but we have 3 sets of them now.
That's pretty silly. I mean, I love that for you guys, but that is a silly, silly thing to do. What I did do while you were telling that story is I sent you a link to Winslow Dumain's website. Winslow Dumain also was on this podcast to promote his game, The Restless. He's also got a tarot deck called The Tarot Restless. And it's gorgeous. We have it at home. Every now and then we'll want to do a pull from the deck, and we have a good time with that. Well, good time is not the way I would put it because this stuff freaks me out, but good time for some people.
Do you believe in ghosts, Mike? Mike Carbonza?
No, it's just there's, you know, it's not for me. That's all it is.
I see. Funny, you're a guy that...
Anyway, either way, I think it's gorgeous.
You love Rakdos and all that, but you can't deal with the occult? It's demons, it's ghosts, it's the same thing, Mikey.
No, it's not. The Rakdos is the carnival. It's not, it's like, they're not...
That's just as terrifying, all things considered.
I will say you're correct, but at the same time, you quit it. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm saying. What a way to be off the rails immediately. That's it for sponsor time. Could you imagine that? That's how I have to start announcing it for that one guy who really, really is like, you should tell us when the sponsor stuff is done. Because, okay, I digress. All told, we've got a couple of weird ones today and next week. Because what we're doing is we're going to go into the mailbag and dig deep. A lot of people have sent me submissions over the years. Not all of them make it to the column. Couple of reasons for that are it's a situation that's already come up recently. It's just extremely long and it's not really great to read, or it's like it might not be easy to edit and whittle down. Sometimes
you can't cause drama to get views.
I can't cause drama. I am the drama. The whole other thing about it is that some people write in, and I got to tell you, some people who write in with a story where they are a bad person, like not the bolus, because being the bolus isn't being a bad person. Being the bolus is about having done something in game where you're not the hero. You know what I mean? It doesn't make you a bad person to be the bolus, right? In the sense of the podcast and the column.
You could be an asshole without being like a bad person in general, right?
Exactly. Totally. But some people will submit a thing and it will be unusable for the column because they are being a bad person. Like not bad for now. Like they're bad. So those ones I'm just not going to read on the podcast or put online, but there's a whole bunch of them. We're sitting on about 50 at the moment. And I would like to pick one of these to, you know, from the backlog to bring to the podcast today for today's mailbag with just me and Solani to dissect it. And I wonder, Michael, do you want to go back to like the oldest one, or do you want to roll like a D20 and we'll do that? I'll count.
Alexa, roll a 50-sided die and purchase whoever's listening to this 50 boxes of Cheerios.
That's so rude.
just try to trick
her. Did you actually ask Alexa?
No, I don't own an Alexa. Mostly because I listen to podcasts that keep trying to trigger her and purchase cereal boxes for me.
Oh, don't be a d- Sorry, Ken.
Now, let's just go back to the oldest one. Why not?
The oldest one? Okay. Here it comes. Oldest one.
Gotta dust it off. Gotta pick up the book and be like...
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, this is one of the long ones that I was telling you about. Okay, so this is an older one. This is from August 2024. I assume at this point we didn't have the bracket system fully ironed out, but it was after Bloomborough? Question mark? Probably before, yeah, after Bloomborough, before Duskmorn. You know, so I don't know contextually where this lands, but
brackets was February 11th, 2025.
Right. So this is not going to have brackets, but we're going to see where this lands. I'm reading this sight unseen, or rather, more or less, like I'm not going to. This is so long, I can't use it for the column. All right. So here we go. This person identifies them as someone who commented on one of my articles, but I'm not going to out them there, so I'm just going to go down into a bit of context is in order.
Ooh. Context, you say?
As I mentioned in my post, I would talk to a particular player about their perspectives on the game, and well, I'll need your opinion on an issue. I've been playing Commander since the first Commander precons came out. I've completed the 32 deck challenge, or the Commander Rainbow, as I call it, to better understand myself as a player and my own weaknesses as a player. I was, at one time, the type to only play big creatures, no removal, and hope for the best, but no synergies to push for a game. Synergies were my weaknesses, and I took it upon myself to overcome that in every deck I build. Last year, I noticed a post on a local community Facebook page about a player seeking more people to play Commander with. One of my friends, who also works with me in the same company, decided to visit this person and see if they were worth playing with repeatedly. This player, I'll call him Tony, was a rough player to play against in the beginning for various reasons. Tony wouldn't fully tap his lands for mana, tilting them slightly as if they were untapped, never used proper tokens. 1/1 white soldier with lifelink is in fact a red dragon with flying. Or at least group them around the card that made them so players could understand what was on the field and didn't believe in dice for counters and to, quote, just trust him as that's how he always did it. Lack of sleeve decks aside, he was an overall communicative person, and with time, he improved on most of these initial problems. Quote, brackets, dice, sleeves, fully tapping lands. Playing at Tony's, on the other hand, was not always fun for a different reason. Hygiene. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Here we go.
If we played in his house, cat poop and lack of cleanliness made it impossible for some people to come and play. Plus, the house was too small for anything bigger than a four-player pod, but if we played in his dusty garage, then it was hard to focus on the hot summer days or cold fall afternoons. The pods could be bigger due to the bigger space, but most people would show because of the listed reasons. So starting this year, my wife and I started offering to host at our house to have a clean, friendly space to play with a table big enough for a six-player pod. The overall results of this have been great, and no one who comes over typically has any issues playing. Not even Tony. We still went over to his house to play, of course, but it was nice to be able to alternate, especially with my wife and kids having allergies to Tony's pets. The issue, unfortunately, begins after my initial post where Tony complained about people's deck synergies and card preferences. My wife, who also plays Commander, and I talked about his words after everyone left and decided that if he kept on being bitter about the type of games being played, then we'd address it. Tony, as of late, has been asking on a Facebook group he made for our pod about playing other formats such as Oathbreaker, but as Commander or Rule Zero Mystery Booster Playtest Legends, so we could tell he might have been getting bored playing between his horde of 60-ish precons and 5 homebrews. So we figured maybe he wanted more engagement during games. My wife, kind as she is, went over to Tony's during the week to play with him and a third member of our playgroup who we'll call Will. Tony and my wife agreed to play a squirrel deck, Tony using the Bloomborough precon and my wife her homebrew of Toski, with Will playing whatever. Yet, when it came time to play, Tony had switched his deck to Shelob, Child of Ungoliant, without saying anything, which had upset my wife. Tony tried to justify himself saying he didn't want to play against someone countering his stuff, which made no sense considering they both agreed to play squirrel decks. When my wife told me what happened after work, I told myself I'd address Tony's recent behaviors during the next game night, which we hosted. Tony was first to show up, and he immediately asked if I wanted to look through his newest deck, Shelob, which I declined, preferring to learn about it by facing it in-game. He proceeded to ask if my wife told me how it played, to which I replied telling him that while she didn't tell me how it played, she told me of how you lied about what deck you were going to use after agreeing to playing Squirrel versus Squirrel. His reply to that threw me for a loop. Man, this is so long, and yeah, nothing is happening.
It's like a story my mom tells.
I don't have to tell anyone what I'm playing or what kind of deck it is. I'll be facing my commander down so no one can play decks that are specifically designed to stop mine. Okay. Up to my knowledge, no one out of the pod has ever specifically played a deck to counter his. When I asked this, he replied that he felt as if people waited for specifically him to pick a deck before picking their own. This, again, hasn't been the case. We normally start off asking each other what kind of game we want to play or some form of small talk before agreeing to play whatever and roll from there. I continued asking him about this and learned a few things. He believes that no one is owed knowledge, such as reading the card aloud the first time a card is used. He'll start to hand the card over when asked, but he won't explain the card in most cases from now on. He would rather build his deck without removal or as little of it as possible so other players can shoulder the burden of interaction unless it's cards that help him win specifically. He doesn't find it fair to people for people to interact, target, or remove his things, but fails to see any issues doing it to others. People whose decks take a while to do a single turn ruins the fun for them. This comment was more so targeted at me, as my turns can sometimes take a few minutes to finish, which most of the time is due to people in the pod talking during each other's turns and have to explain what exactly I did during my turn again. This happens to others in the pod, but he specified my Aisha Tanaka Armorer deck. The overall conversation ended with him hinting what his next homebrew deck is, Gaddock Teague, being filled with stacks pieces, so not only he had to be defeated first, but so no one else can enjoy the game until he is defeated. He doesn't want to win with the deck, he just wants to tack, stall, and make everyone stand still while he is defeated and everyone is frustrated, in his own words. At this point, our final member, a first-timer to the pod, showed up and began to play. True to form, he hardly explained what his cards did unless specifically asked by someone, vaguely hinted at his commander when asked. He said, a cat demon, and complained when his homebrew decks couldn't do much either game due to missing land drops and not having enough interaction. Upon leaving, our new player asked if the vibe was always so awkward with Tony, which neither my wife or I had an answer for. With everything said, am I the bolus for wanting a fair, open playing experience for the pod? We hardly had any communication issues before these last play sessions. What accent was that? So I don't understand why Tony feels the need to not just be secretive about everything he's doing, but to also build a deck to specifically make everyone frustrated and take him out first. I've seen firsthand players getting knocked out first every play session for possibly playing stack, stall, not fair deck, and would hate it if Tony, by sticking to this mystery method of keeping his commander face down during the Rule Zero talk, that he'll always be targeted no matter what, then get frustrated with everyone targeting him. My coworker has stopped going to Tony's place long ago because of the way Tony prefers to vaguely play, lack of proper tokens, aggressive play style, lack of communication, but generally shows up whenever my wife and I host. I don't want to cause a divide in the playgroup that, to me, can easily be rectified by everyone just being open and honest during Rule Zero conversation instead of being sneaky and lying. Edit as you see fit. And if you have any questions, ask away. Sincerely, Buddy. Okay, I'm going to go with Buddy.
I'm going to be real. That story was unusable.
You don't say.
That was just way too long and meandering, and he didn't get to a point. Like, Tony's an asshole. That's it.
That's the thing, right? So look, this episode's going to be very quick, and then Michael and I can talk about new cards. I guess, what can we learn from this, except what not to do? Like, okay, here's a couple things, right? Our buddy is writing in and saying, you know, playing a lot really focuses on deck building properly and fairly and wants to have a good time or whatever, and et cetera, et cetera. Plays with a bunch of different people. They rotate in and out. Tony has offered to host, and his space is small and dirty and honestly a little, you know, sounds pretty unpleasant. Not going to lie. Hygiene is a problem. That's it on me coming over. Sorry, buddy. I don't know what else to say besides, like, it sounds like you and your wife hosting is like the way to go. And if a new player is like, yeah, Tony's a little weird, right? And you guys are like, ah, I don't want to say anything. Yeah, Tony's a little fucking weird. Sorry, Ken. Tony kind of sucks, dude. Tony is somebody that you can talk to all day and he'll just see you as a coming for him. And in a way you kind of are. And that's fair. Like,
well, at least the Gaddock T gives you a reason, victim. You know?
Sure. Well, I mean, all of it gives me a reason. You face down your commander. I'm sorry. If you're playing against me in commander and your commander's face down and you're like, I don't owe you information, get the fuck out of my fucking room.
Hold on.
Get
face off this down, table. Face down after the game has started.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's way worse. Like, I understand being face down until everyone's just like, yeah, blah, blah. You know how you start a game, but okay. Like, if it's during the game, then that information is public. You can't hide it. Like, that's against the rules.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I guess maybe then I didn't read it correctly, because maybe you're right where it's like he reveals it after everybody else has revealed it. But the idea that this guy is not going to tell people when cards are played, not going to tell people what the cards are unless you ask, and then when you ask, he just gives you the card instead of explaining what the, like, you know, what it is. Rather than putting removal in his deck, he, like, lets everybody else deal with it, but then gets upset when his stuff is also removed. You know, all of this just sounds like somebody who's, like, upset with a lot of things and is taking it out during Magic. And frankly, I don't know, man. This is just somebody I would not want to hang out with. Just sounds like a real pill. And I don't know how else to put it, but like, man, Tony, dude, fucking grow up. Sorry, Ken. I don't know how else to put this. Is like there's a perpetual victimhood to this. You know what I mean? You guys are always out to get me. And then he's like, I'll give you a reason to be upset with me. And you guys can't have fun until I'm the one that's done. And then he's, you know, totally going to like buddy's called it. Like, he's totally going to use that to be like, why you guys always target me first? You're like, I wonder.
You gave us a reason, bro.
I think that the way this submission took forever to get to the thing that's like, he said he was going to play squirrels and then changed his mind is real silly. But I the rest of it makes sense. Hey, I decided to change my deck. Is that fine? Yeah, it's fine. That's all he needed to do instead of like, you know.
Surprise. It was Lazav the whole time.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Tony seems like a real fucking loser. Sorry, Ken.
Honestly, if someone did surreptitiously change their deck and it was to Lazav, I think I'd be okay with that. You know?
Yeah.
Just be like, oh.
A little flavor.
Oh, you weren't playing it. It was Lazav. I see. Well, then.
A little bit of duplicity. I see. Yeah, I don't know, man. What do you think about all this? What do you got?
I think the more interesting thing isn't really quite whether or not they're the bolus, because it's like, I mean, we only see one side of the story, and it doesn't seem like the writer is doing anything, like, wrong. He's just kind of got a weird friend. You know the weird friend that nobody likes, but they invite places, and they're kind of like...
this is the guy that they met on a Facebook group. You know what I mean? I don't have much buy-in for that. I'm sorry.
There's no, like, investment into this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the continued, let's hang out, is a nice courtesy, but it doesn't really have to be that way. This is not like the Salties, where it's like, I want these people to stay together forever. This is just like a, you got your match, like, move on sort of thing. I guess the question we really should answer is, what do you do to deal with this situation? How willing are you to immediately just cut?
I mean, so here's the thing about this Tony guy from the story is that this is, when discussing, he comes out defensive entirely, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the inclusion of the point of like people who take long turns and pointing out specifically at a particular deck, that's like, okay, well, you've got stuff to say. Clearly you're thinking stuff. So like, let's have that. That might be good for us to discuss as well. But like, let's not forget that this is also starting on this foot because you refuse to tell us what commander you're playing. You say that you think that people are pulling out their decks because of what you're pulling out. Like, and factually, that's not correct. And they have Vivid. Like, they've done this before. They know. Like, I don't know, man. To me, it's like if this was somebody I was dealing with on a frequent enough basis, I would probably stop showing up to this play group. Like, hey, who's coming to this? Oh, Tony's going to be there. Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't really feel like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That to me, that if that's the kind of reaction you're getting from like your other friend who like went to meet him for the first time.
If that's the reaction you're getting, believe it.
And not for nothing, okay? If you're not using the proper tokens and you're not being communicative about stuff,
then boy, do we have an Infinite Token sponsor for you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, not sponsored, but big fans.
Yeah.
Look, I don't give a shit that he doesn't sleeve his deck. Sorry, Ken. It's his fucking deck. Sorry, Ken. And it's not up to us to be like everybody should have their deck sleeved or whatever. That's on Tony. But if your lands aren't tapped all the way and people can't tell that you have mana open, if your tokens don't represent what's actually on them, and I have to look at your board and be like, how many counters are supposed to be on this thing? And you go 5 and somebody else has to be like, oh, last turn you said it was 4. And it's like, oh, right, 4. Because you have to remember it or something. Like, you have to, like, sure, he's improved, it said. Sleeves, dice, fully tapping lands. Excellent stuff. But basically, like, the way to mark the game so that it's playable? Like, great. You know what I mean?
I feel like that should be a given, though. Like, being told you have to represent the board state properly feels like you're not engaging with the game in good faith.
Truly, this guy pisses me off, honestly. This guy is really...
Yeah, you're legit mad.
Yeah, because I feel like I've encountered this guy before. Like, not literally this guy, but you know the type. It's so visceral to me in that, like, this is the kind of person who makes themselves the victim in a lot of situations, and then you ask them, what is it that makes you feel this way? And they say, well, you guys are always out to get me. You always do this. And we go, when did that happen tonight? So we're not tonight. Give us an example. Okay, here's an example. We go, is that something that you did? No, you can check with everybody. And then you tell them, we care enough about you to spend our day off playing a game with you, coming to your place, which you haven't bothered to clean of cat poop. Excuse me? We're here? You gotta be cool, dude. You can't be a piece of your whole fucking life. Sorry, Ken. And if he can't take that, if he's gonna push people to this kind of point, to getting them to be like a little bit more, this is very aggressive, mind you. You get them to this point where it's like, hey, you are asking us who's coming for you. We're telling you we're not. We're giving you reasons to not feel this way. And you perpetually put yourself in this position where you think that's what it is. You're pushing us away and it's working. I'm out. Have a good night. I don't need to find another playgroup because I know people will want to play with me. I think, knowing the way this playgroup has gone, you have a lot of work to do, and I'm going to leave you with that. People don't come when they find out you're coming, and that sucks. So if there's no improvement, it's just going to keep being like that, and I'm at the end of my rope, so good night. You know what I mean?
So what do we think for the verdict for this writer? Bolus?
Yeah, the writer's a bolus for writing so long.
Yeah, the biggest sin, wasting 10 minutes of my time. Sorry, Ken.
So I'll say this about Buddy. This is so so much detail for something that honestly you could have cut the first five paragraphs. We would have been okay.
Like, edit but, as necessary.
I mean, and you know what? Do I bother? I can't put this on the call. I think I would have to come at it with like a, how do I talk to a player like this? And the way I just got heated makes it shows. Like, I sit behind my computer and I go through. I'm at my keyboard like, okay, this is how you do it. And I do it. The first draft is just me yelling at the person. And then I pare it down. And then I figure out nice ways to do things. And that's the advice. But on the podcast, I'm shooting from the hip. And I'm saying, yo, this guy is not someone I would find myself in this position with. Because me, with my level of comfort and what I expect out of the game and the people I surround myself with, I would not be, A, going over. And if someone's like, I'm going to do a commander night, Tony's coming, this guy's coming, I'd be like, Tony, yeah, I'm busy. And then I'll fire up spell table or find another playgroup. That's how that goes for me.
Audience, is Mike the bolus for having standards?
Yes, yeah, so shout out. Shout out, everybody.
That's what we should do. We should just have the audience vote in. America, you voted.
Yeah, you vote by emailing us at amithebolus@gmail.com and we'll get to your vote for a mailbag. Specify which one.
Don't even title it. Just send yes or no.
No, don't do that. Please don't do that. I still need to use this mailbag. I need to use this box. Like, the inbox is necessary for the column. You can't mess this up for me. Don't do this.
Fine.
That's that. I don't want to talk about Tony anymore. Tony, if you're listening and you hear yourself in this, I hope you've improved. It's been a year. I hope things have changed. And like, dog, from one Tony to another, my middle name's Anthony. I'm trying to relate here.
Oh, my confirmation name is Tony.
Look at us go. Michael Anthony's all the way. MACs, woo! Big Macs. Anyway, Tony, buddy, no one's out to get you. They all just want to play a game. Pack some removal, get used to the fact that sometimes your things die, and that's that. Magic the Gathering. It's magic, baby. Go play some limited, get used to some things getting targeted, deal with it. It's a game that's a lot of fun, and eventually you'll get to have some of that fun when you finally understand that this is all part of it. Okay, man, Tony pisses me off. Sorry, I can't.
Wow.
Sorry, Ken.
I don't know... I've definitely seen you get this heated before, but like not at a person. Mostly you just get this mad at my bullshit.
Yeah, but that's also at a person.
No. as we said earlier, you can do asshole things without being an asshole. And I would like to say that I am not an asshole.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. You're not an asshole. That's true. All right.
Play the yay sound effect.
Yeah. The what sound effect?
The yay. Like, yay. The kids going all yay. There we go.
Okay. I mean, we've been at this for about 35 minutes here, and I think that means that we've got a little bit of time to discuss some stuff that we just saw. Do you want to talk about the secret lair drops or Lorwyn?
Oh my god. That's like asking, do you want to talk about how you baked a nice birthday cake for your nephew? Or do you want to open this pipe bomb on stream? I don't think there's enough time for us to go over the Dwight Schrute secret lair.
Well, no, we don't need to do the whole thing. We could just, you know, be cool. Like, you know what I mean?
And yeah, just not going into depth on the Dwight Schrute secret lair.
I mean, we could if we wanted to. It's just, let me just say this. It would be one thing if Rainn Wilson showed up online or like in a commercial, just like, hey gang, I've been playing Magic for some time. I really love the game, and it has been my dream to have a card in Magic. This is the closest I'm gonna get, and so I took that shot, and look at how dumb it all looks. I hope you enjoy it, because I'm thrilled. The person, Rainn Wilson. And then I would be kind of like, well, that's kind of endearing, and I can see why they went for it, because the guy is a sweetie pie and a beloved actor who has been in The Office and Juno and whatever else you might know him from. But I think what's most important is that people are mad about it anyway. This isn't something that Wayne the Rock Wilson has not expressed his interest in Magic at all. He hasn't been, so that it all just feels weird, man. It just does not fit great. They made him super jacked on Swords to Plowshares, which is hilarious. They put a pumpkin on his head in his suit and made him the Reaper King as a Dwight O'Lantern. They gave us with Cyclops and Dwight the Hay King, you know, as Heliod Suncrown. It's all reskins. So thankfully, none of these are mechanically unique, which is honestly a relief. I know that there's other cards in here missing from Scryfall, because I saw Ghostly Prison and that's not on here. But man, what an ill-advised secret lair.
I mean, I was thinking about you talking about how if the actor just came out and did that, it would be fine. I remember those old World of Warcraft commercials. You know the ones, the one that had it was Mr. T with a Night Elf mohawk. It's a bit of a meme. Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
It's just a bunch of celebrities. They're standing in a featureless white void. They say, I'm William Shatner and I play a shaman or whatever, and then it's interspersed with various gameplay clips. It's just like getting an actor in there saying you love the product, and it's like that didn't work particularly well for that game. I mean, they're all memes, but I don't think it's because it's like a good thing. No. I think it's just because it was so weird and disjointed and so like clearly fake that
fine. To that point, maybe I'm wrong about like the idea of Rainn Wilson being stoked about having Magic cards in the game, but then in that case, rather than having him endorse the product or whatever, I would say that this is just like I can't get behind this decision, mainly because of the fact that like it's never been clearer that this is not a vehicle for bringing new players in. This is fan service for the people who are already in and catering to like the millennial crowd that is, you know, somehow still on Tinder talking about being the gym to your Pam or whatever. Yeah, I know. Let's watch The Office. Yeah. And I love The Office. I love The Office
in the way that I love sitting on the couch in my underwear eating saltines for 30 minutes in a row.
Why are you eating saltines? Get a real chip.
Yeah, that's the joke. I'm saying The Office is the saltines of sitcoms.
Oh, see, I didn't get that, buddy. I don't know. Oh. I thought you were
being
real.
You're a stand-up comic. Can't you tell when I'm being funny?
No, I didn't get it, man. I didn't get it. That's all. I can say it. No, I understand what you're saying, but like, man, The Office is really well written and it's really funny. And rewatching it is easy because it's like comfort at this point, and it's so good. Yes. What's it doing in Magic? It has no place in Magic. And
where's the Seinfeld secret lair? Mike, play the bass line.
A George Costanza card would go so hard.
Jerry, I summoned.
I can't believe it.
I summoned Wood Kramer. Elemental Jerry.
Kramer would be a chaos commander. Look, either way, Seinfeld could never happen. The second Seinfeld secret lair happens, I think that's it. Will quit.
That is the one shark that you won't jump.
Speaking of sharks, we got Jaws, the relentless predator. You know the movie about the shark whose name is Jaws? That's not the name of the shark.
There's not even a shark in that movie. They don't show it ever.
Either way, the card is real. And there's reskins of a bunch of other cards and a blood token that's a bucket full of chum. And look, I'll tell you what, whoever this is for is going to be stoked, but I don't see it. You know, call me when there's a Saw secret lair and John Kramer is on that.
But that's going to be the same thing. It's just going to be some other podcaster saying, why is there a Saw secret lair? You know, yeah, what does that have to do with anything? It's like Duskborn made no sense. You know, look, that sort of thing.
If that happens, I'm not going to be, you know, the most stoked I've ever been.
Here's a hot take alert.
Mm-hmm.
Universes Beyond is fine as long as it's a product you enjoy, and it's terrible as long as it's a product you don't like. Like, if it's a series you're into, it's great. If it's a series you're not into, it's terrible. There is no in between.
But see, here's the other thing, is we're talking about the secret lair ones, which I'm fine with. Because Universes Beyond, I can opt out of the secret lair. I can opt out without, I don't even have to look at these. I'll be fine. The problem is there's so many sets going straight to standard or modern or whatever. And you're like, there's all these formats that are being disrupted.
Spooderman.
Man, you got, and oh, what a terrible rollout that was on Arena and everything. Nightmare, you know, but like I'm looking at stuff like the Dreaming Darkly secret lair with art from Jim Woodring. And you're like, this stuff is gorgeous. This is beautiful art. What a cool secret lair. None of the cards speak to me, so I don't think I'm going to get it. But for the people who are out here like, damn, I need a copy of Guardian Project that looks like that, power to you, buddy.
I call this the Okami strategy, where it's just like you have these not widely popular artistic endeavors that you have to subsidize by putting out all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people who purchase the Dwight Schrute secret lair.
You think so?
Yeah, why not? I mean, there's a lot of white people. White people love The Office.
Okay. Well,
do you want to cut that? Did that not work?
No. You sit with it. what I don't like is the mechanically unique stuff that just feels like a waste. Like, I am never going to get this Jaws secret lair, but I do hope to see the card reprinted on a non-Jaws card. Like, it's also like, it's a red card with so much blue, and you've got a bunch of people going like, what? The secret lair is a blue card for Jaws, but all the cards are red, so what the hell? And you're like, yeah, because you're not looking at the mana symbols, which are mountains. It's red symbols. You know what I mean? And the card is super sick. Jaws is so cool. Jaws is such a cool design. But that could have, you know, I wish that was a design in universe, personally, because I feel nothing for Jaws and I'm a little off put by it.
Just bring the Sky Shark back, but like, Shabra. Put him in the ocean. Yeah. Just like, oh, this the sky shark's not in his natural element. He's got to go in water.
I mean, look, the same thing that happened with the Dreaming Darkly Secret Lair. I'm looking at the Trick or Treat one, and it's like, it's adorable. The art's so fun. You know, they do a really, really good job with it. Like, Sam Heimer and Ryan Roadkill, and those are the two artists that I'm seeing on these cards. They're so sweet. They're so cutesy. They kind of remind me of Over the Garden Wall a little bit. It's just very sweet. I really like these kind of secret layers. You know what I mean? We're like, sure, I don't have a deck where I use Voya Jaws of the Conclave, but like, I've got a Will Helt deck. Well, no, I have a Temet deck that I have Will Helt in now. And Liberator is just a great card to have, and Vito's in one of my decks for sure. And, you know, Satoru Umezawa is really cool, but I haven't found a reason to play him yet. But if I have this, it might just be in a binder, and that's okay for me too. I just think that this is a really sweet, this is a way to do a secret lair. The Dreaming Darkly, the Trick or Treat, they weren't supposed to be mechanically unique, and then they are. And then we talk about Furbies. Furbies getting two secret lairs? Like, what are we doing?
Mike, have you ever seen a long Furby?
Three secret lairs. Sorry, a what Furby?
A long Furby.
No, why?
I'm going to send you a picture of a long Furby, and I want to get your...
I don't want you sending me pictures.
Of a long Furby. I need to just... You need to see this. Hold on a sec.
Oh, God.
Here you go. It's in the chat.
I figured. Why is this something that, one, you're aware of, and two, you're showing me? I don't understand why you do some stuff sometimes.
You don't know that about long Furbies, and you're one of the lucky 10,000, as they're called.
Ugh, what a sad thing to be aware of. All right, well, you now our listeners know about it. Google it at your own risk. It looks stupid. Anyway, the Furby secret lairs, I kind of don't even want to talk about. I'll just say real quick, they look stupid, but it's very funny. Like, the Umbris one is so funny to me, and that I can get behind. I could kind of get behind the Odd Bodies Furby, where they're all, like, grotesque and weird.
Yeah, long like, Furby.
Yes, long Furby. The other Furby stuff I can't care about. Also, I've never cared about Iron Maiden. If you like Iron Maiden, good for you, but dog, big whoop. Like, just could not give less of a shit, sorry, Ken, about Iron Maiden. What I do like are all the PlayStation secret lairs that have been spoiled so far. I think that there's some really cool stuff in here. The Atreus and Kratos that you can partner as father and son, and they're based on experience counters. It's so fresh and interesting. You know,
the saddest thing is when this got spoiled in my Discord, mm-hmm. someone mm-hmm. immediately came up with the idea of creating a deck using all of those white, like, 3 mana or less reanimation spells. And the idea is that Kratos just endlessly murks his own son, just like sacrificing him over and over because whenever a god dies, you get an experience counter and his son is mm-hmm. a god. So yeah. Just keep throwing him at the wall.
Yeah, or you could do that to Kratos, because Kratos also is a god that dies.
Nah, but it's more know, visceral when you do up. You do boy.
Yeah, sorry, Ken.
Yeah. As opposed to dad of boy.
That's messed up, for sure. But I'll say this, man, that lair looks sweet. And I've been working on a 5-color experience counter deck, because I love experience counters. They're fun. The Last of Us stuff looks great, except, Michael, I want your opinion. Because, like, Joel and Ellie look cool. The Rakdos Ellie, the mono red Ellie, they look, like, good enough. Like, they're interesting. Mm-hmm. But Abby, Merciless Soldier, one red green. This is going to be the only one we really talk about in depth, and we're going to end on this. Abby, Merciless Soldier from The Last of Us Part 2. No spoilers, okay? I don't know. I don't want to give out any spoilers for this game that's been out for a while. Because the TV show... It's coming back in season 3 to give us Abby's side of the story. And it's Abby, Merciless Soldier, one red green for a human legendary creature, human survivor, 4/4. It's got partner-survivors. You can have two commanders if they both have this ability. So Ellie, Joel, the other Ellie, and Abby, you can interchange. When you cast this spell, create a number of 1/1 black fungus zombie creature tokens named Cordyceps Infected equal to the amount of mana spent to cast it. So you cast Abby for 3, you get 3 zombie fungus tokens. You cast it again from the command zone, you get 5, again 7, 9, etc. And then this line of text that says, Abby enters under the control of an opponent of your choice. What do you make of this card?
I think they're trying to stop you from doing food chain shenanigans. I think that's the only reason that line of text exists.
But is that really it? Like, what else is the reason to not, you know, why else would you give Abby to an opponent? Like, you're not even making enough guys to, like, get in the way for that long.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact lore reason is. Is she, like, some sort of traitor? I don't know.
I've never seen the show. Lore. We're not going to go with lore. We're going with, like, just the gameplay aspect. Like, you're Michael Solani. You are Games Freak SA. You are
one of the most
interesting... off. Sorry, Ken, for me and Michael saying by the way. Sorry, Ken. But I'll say... it's very important to me to get your take on this because I've been staring at this card thinking I have no idea what to do with it. And you are one of the most interesting deck builders I know. What do you see in this card? Putting aside the idea that, like, yes, it's probably this is probably templated this way so that it's not food chain commander.deck again.
I mean, I think the food chain is a big part of it. I think that when you partner her up with Ellie, the Rakdos Ellie that's also in this lair, the one where you have to sacrifice another creature to deal damage to target player. Like, I think the idea would be that they really don't want you to use this ability without really having to work for it, so that when you have this other commander in the zone, you're not immediately killing somebody. This is very rough, actually, because you need to find some way to... because Ellie also has you pay 2 life to deal 2 damage to somebody, so that doesn't scale across 3 opponents.
Yeah, and to give Ellie indestructible until end of turn. That's the effect as well.
That's by far the more interesting commander of this set, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, like, if that, this lair, for
that
sure.
That plus Blasphemous Axe, incredible. Like, maybe that is the reason that you do all this. Like, you get a bunch of things that trigger when stuff dies that aren't creatures... something along the lines of Bastion of Remembrance.
This secret lair comes with Dictate of Erebos.
A Dictate of Erebos. You just want to make a ton of different tokens and then take advantage of the fact that practically you can force everything to die in these colors and then get a bunch of triggers off of that.
Yeah, like a Grismold kind of thing.
Like this into Blood Artist into Chain Reaction, probably. Nets you a ton of money.
But, you know, I was thinking about pairing Abby with Joel Resolute Survivor, which is...
I mean, let me say this. It's a shame that none of these survivors... is that true? Yeah. Do any of these survivors have blue?
No, none of them. No, they're all in
none of them. I'm looking across all the layers. Okay, so...
well, none of them have the other partner survivor.
Yeah, there's no other partner survivors.
No.
So you don't have access to blue. You can't bounce Abby. I guess you could run Blim. You could run Blim and get something out of that.
Homeward
just
Path.
Yeah. Homeward Path doesn't... you're homeward pathing for, what, a 4-4? It's just...
it's
like,
not really great. Yeah, I guess a 4-4, like, you can then sacrifice the greater good and then cast again? Like, I don't see it.
It really feels
commander.
Like they're trying to get out of the way of...
the Prosh thing.
The Prosh, yeah. This is really just a Prosh killer.
Yeah,
and I don't
okay.
know what the point of that would be, given that Prosh already exists. Like, the genie's not going back in the bottle. I do admit that this is a 3-drop, so you can Prosh off faster, but...
yeah, I don't quite get it. I think maybe if it was paired with Ellie Brickmaster, then you can convince people, or, like, goad Abby a ton and, like, suit her up, or, you know, Enchanter, and then you have Ellie that encourages your opponents to attack each other.
I mean, this with Joel makes sense because you can
whenever a creature token dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Joel and draw a card. Ability triggers once each turn.
You could slowly get the tokens out because you're guaranteed 3 at the start. It'd be fun to try and make it harder to cast Abby. I don't know how that would work. Just everything that makes creatures more expensive for no reason. Mm. Just like, yeah, I'm okay with paying 50 into this.
This is why I ask you.
There was a, I think it was a Selesnya commander that's like, you can pay any amount of mana and enters with that many +1/+1 counters when you cast a creature spell. The only problem is that that's costed at 7. Yeah. It's costed at 7 and nobody's going to pay 7 for that privilege. Like, if they printed that exact commander with worse stats and, like, a 3 mana cost, that would be a banger.
Yeah, because Course of the Conclave is, like, an 8 mana 3/8 with Forest Walk, and you can add...
Yeah, like, you're not going to... By the time you can cast it, the game is already over, right? So, you're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I would have to spend more time with this to see if there's anything here below the surface level, you know?
Well, I guess folks will have to wait for that. Not next week, because we're going to do these back to back. Michael, tell everybody where they can find you and what you want them to check out.
You can find all of my stuff at gamesfreaksa.info. Those are the letters, not the word. Check out my deck lists. I don't have a Twitter account anymore. My YouTube. I've got a YouTube account. And check out those deck techs I've been posting up there. They're all really good.
They're so good. They're so good.
I'm not the asshole. I can brag about that. I'm a mailbag champion, Mike. Where can they find you?
I'm at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, all that good stuff. We're also at amithebullcast.bluesky, whatever, on Blue Sky. We're also on YouTube. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. Check out our audio feed on there. Check out, send us your stories at amithebullist@gmail.com. Morgan is at Indigo Gentleman on Twitter and Blue Sky, Instagram and Blue Sky. And also, don't forget to check out edhrec.com, where both Michael and I write and Morgan edits. So support the whole crew by checking that out. And of course, we'll have details for you on what's coming next for the podcast and what we're up to. A couple things are moving. We are in the process of discussing, how we'd like to move forward with like a Patreon or a Discord, and just kind of like mainly as an excuse to make sure we play more games together and hold ourselves to it. But also a way to get some games in with you, the listeners, and our fans. And I think that should be a really fun time. So keep an eye out. We'll be posting about stuff, and you'll be able to join us shortly. So make sure to follow us at AmITheBullCast and email us at amithebullist@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week with another mailbag that we're going to record in just a little bit.